this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Next step number 29, December 31st, 08. Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vosk, welcoming you back to the next step, the New Year's Eve edition of the next step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. The next step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and is brought to you by the good folks at the Apostles Net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, Happy New Year! Yes, Happy New Year to all of you. Welcome to 2009. I know we're podcasting still in 2008, but by the time some of you, well, unless you're like a real hardcore next stepper who's going to just download it Wednesday night, New Year's Eve, wow, you got to let me know about you. You're my type of person. But most of you are probably downloading this into the new year, so I want to welcome you to 2009. Welcome all of us to the last of the aught years. Seems like it was just yesterday we were living in the last century and talking about the new century coming, and here it is 2000. I can't even believe I'm saying something like this. It is so cliche, but it's so true too. Where are these days going? Where are these years going? Listen, we've got a great podcast for you, talking about some of the esoteric things and some of the very functional things as theophany, as the revelation of God. But before doing anything else, let's start off the new year with a prayer. was from Credo's album. If you recognize the song, that was actually Surp Surp that was being sung, or the Holy, 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 as it is well known throughout Christian liturgies. It is called the River of Tears on that particular album, but it is most certainly a prayer to all of us. And I love starting New Year's with a prayer. It's such a beautiful way to begin anything. And I learned this tradition from my grandmother. I remember as kids, there was four of us, and she would babysit us on Christmas, on New Year's Eve night, because my dad, he was also a musician, and he'd go out and he'd play at different events on New Year's Eve. And we'd get the fortune of staying with grandma, making popcorn and watching TV, I guess. And right at New Year's, we'd go out with horns and pots and pans and just wake up the neighborhood. Or I would imagine they were waking up, because to me it seemed like so quiet except for us, this small little band of Armenians making noise with our grandmother. But she would always make us start off the New Year with a prayer. She would stop everything, and she would make us say the Lord's Prayer. And I think in making us do that, it just kind of made me understand that all good things begin with God's blessings. And so what an appropriate way to usher in 2009, but to say, Holy, 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 Lord of Hosts, you are incredible. And thank you for this beautiful life that we enjoy. So welcome to 2009. A lot of stuff happening this year, but it's also a chance for us to look at what happened in the past and maybe kind of reflect over those things. I know, God's put the eyes on the front of our head, so we look forward and not backwards, but a lot of times in looking back, we are able to look at what happened and maybe not repeat some of the, let's say, the mistakes or the wrong things that have happened in our lives. You know what I'm getting at? It's reflection. And you know, as I look back on 2008, it was an incredible year. I mean, like so many on the world stage, so many things that were happening. And of course, it ended this last week with these tragedies happening again between Israel and the Palestinians and the occupation over there in Gaza. And this is just something that you and I both know is not going to end, despite all of these efforts, until we reach for the bigger peace. And I'm not talking about a peace of sitting at Camp David or sitting with the Egyptians or sitting anywhere. But I'm talking about kneeling. I'm talking about us humbling ourselves. And that goes for all the sides. To be able to say that, you know, we need to be able to live and survive on this planet. And God help these people. It is just incredible that every few months, every few years, we have to see this same tragedy unfolding and unfolding. And yes, Israel being in that unique spot, being in that geographic area, there is so many dimensions to this argument that it is beyond this podcast, because I really do want to give a spiritual spin to everything. So I'm not really going to talk about the politics, because you and I may differ on that, but we can agree on the one thing, that true peace comes from above. True peace comes when we humble ourselves and we say that God is the creator of that peace, and we need to plug in to his peace. And you look at 2008, and you had all of these events taking place. I know for us, 2008 also was an opportunity to focus in on what's going on in Darfur and the China Olympics, and once again emphasizing that, you know, to run a war, to run a genocide, you need money. And probably one of the best ways to stop genocide, to stop wars, is to stop funding them. So if we can divest from some of these companies, some of these countries that invest in these policies of genocide, or invest in countries that have policies of genocide, such as the Sudan, we can do a big thing in bringing about peace in those areas. In 2008, many of our programs were geared toward that divestment in the Sudan, and also our protests against what was going on in Darfur in particular, but also throughout the world where there was major injustice against certain types of people because of their ethnic makeup or because of their convictions. Also in 2008, we had many losses. I mean, you may have had a loss in your family. You may have a loved one that is no longer with us now in 2009. I know for me in particular, I lost a very, very special person, a dear person in my life. We used to call him Baron Haigas. He was actually somebody who was at Musaled. He was at Musadah when the resistance against the Turks was taking place, and he was born in that area. And then later on, you know, I call that generation of people, especially like the Armenians who went through genocide and then reconstructed their lives elsewhere, I call them the God generation, because they really did what we believe God to be doing. In other words, God took nothing and he created something. He created life. I mean, that was a generation that really absolutely had nothing. The Turks had just destroyed everything, and here it is 80, 90 years later. They have not only created their life, they have created a life for their children and for all of us. To me, that's doing the work of God. So I'm missing today a very special man named Haigas in my life. And I know that throughout the world, we lost some very big people. Paul Newman, I didn't realize what an incredible guy he was. I mean, we enjoyed his movies, really loved his movies. But after he passed away, you learn about the charity that he was involved in his relationships, long-term relationships, just a wonderful, wonderful person. We also lost, of course, Heath Ledger, Suzanne Pleshette in the entertainment world, William Buckley, Margaret Truman in the political world, and there was a whole sort of people, and of course Tim Russert, one of my favorites, who would lead off Sunday morning while I was getting ready for church, would watch his show. And there are many people that are no longer with us today. And there is also something that's missing this 2009 as we start off this new year. And I want to talk about that because I think it's kind of interesting. Something that we lost during this past year. Okay, what is it? Animal, vegetable, mineral? Could it be a fish? What are we talking about? Well, just relax. Take a breath when I tell you this. I want to talk about the demise of the VHS tape. Yes, this past year, the last VHS tape was made. And as small as you think that event is, I want to talk about what VHS and what video recording did in our lives. In our lifetimes, we've seen such an incredible revolution of ideas and events, and especially a revolution of technology. And VHS, when it came out, it gave you and I the opportunity to do something that was only reserved for a certain few people. In other words, we were able to create and start defining our lives based on this function of the tape, of being able to record, rewind, and fast forward. Many of the things that we take for granted today, I mean, just this podcast, did I say that? Well, the Bible, what did I say? The Bible. Okay, now if you have a problem with that, what do you do right now? You can just rewind. Or you can fast forward, and you can find exactly what did I say. Did I say that the Bible is not real? Did I say that the Bible is something from God? Did I say that God is with us? Did I say that there's no such thing as God? Would the Father make a mistake like this? Let's check him out. Rewind. Fast forward. Well, you know, just a few years ago, a couple decades ago, this was unheard of. I spoke about this a few months ago when I talked about the marvel of watching Wizard of Oz. What a beautiful and fascinating movie. 1939, that movie came on, and since it came out, and since that time, it has inspired generations. I remember as a child, we would wait, and it wasn't something that you could just have on demand. The network would decide when they were going to show it, usually around Christmas or Easter break, and on one of the networks, it was only at that time that you could watch it. At 8 o'clock it would start, and it would finish at 10:30 at 11 o'clock, and you better be in front of your set to watch it, otherwise you have missed The Wizard of Oz. And as Dorothy opened that door to the Technicolor world of Munchkin Land, so too our imaginations were opened from the black and white to this beautiful colored world. Well, you know, today, you don't have to wait. If you want to show your children The Wizard of Oz, check it out. Just take the DVD, stick it in the machine, watch it on your TV, watch it on the flat screen, project it up on the wall. Do whatever you want. And if you want to see the actor's face, you can stop it. You can fast forward it. You could rewind it. And you know, each of these are ways that we have now perceived reality. Because it's not just a question of our screens that we're talking about, but we're looking at life as well. Most of our life now we define in terms of that VHS model. We can rewind, and that's a very good thing, you know, to be able to rewind and retrace the steps, but it also is a very stifling thing, because you don't move forward. When you just have that rewind button, you go keep going backwards, and you don't allow for that human frailty. You know, now, if we make a mistake, why even in this podcast, if I make a mistake, I can cut it. You don't know if I've cut myself here, there, or everywhere. And thanks to that VHS, we've been able to bring something that's been technically unavailable to the average person, now very common, so that each and every one of us can basically create altered states of reality, can create virtual realities, can create lives that don't really exist in reality, but exist certainly on tape and exist on video screens. And this is a fantastic dimension of life that was unheard of just 20, 30, 40 years ago, but today is just very commonplace. How many times have you watched a video on TV or on the computer? And you've said, how do we do that? And it's all computer arts and computer graphics, and it's beautiful. But what does that say about the human condition and about the human being? Obviously, we can talk about art forms and that art form being an expression of the human soul, but also let's talk about ourselves. Sure, the pain of life is in its imperfection, but also the beauty of life. The beauty of life is in its imperfection. The beauty of one another is that we are not robots, we are not perfect, that we all have our idiosyncrasies, that we don't have a rewind switch in life, that we do make mistakes, and in those mistakes, we find opportunities to really reach out and touch our humanness with one another, to say I'm sorry, to share a love with one another. I mean, think about it for a moment. If we all had rewind switches, how quickly we'd be hitting those rewind switches in our lives. But how would we move forward? We'd keep hitting that rewind switch and we'd never move forward, because we'd say, oh, I did that wrong, I did this wrong, and you know, that sounds too much like a commercial, let's go through that, or let's go backwards and something. You know, you can't live life like that. Life is created in the moment. There is no past aside from what's inside of your head and your memory. There is no guarantees for future. The present moment is right there, and it needs to be lived. And in all philosophies, in all religions that really allow us to rise from our humanness, What is the one message that comes out loud and clear? Love today, right now. You can't look backwards. You can't look forwards. You have to live in the present. There are no rewind switches. There are no fast forward switches. Think about the difficulties that we've had. I mean, go back to that metaphor of the Wizard of Oz. I mean, when the Tin Man receives his heart, doesn't the wizard caution him about that heart being so special? And if there was a way of figuring out how it could not be broken? But think about it. What does Shakespeare tell us? It is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Well, of course, that heart does hurt. It is an awful feeling when that heart is broken. But in those broken hearts, there are opportunities to really move forward and to rise to the bigger occasion of our divinity, of our finding that God that really puts that love inside of our heart. And think about Martin Luther King, who said something so beautiful, that there really is no great disappointment unless first there is no great love. In other words, you are not disappointed if you don't love that thing. You need to have loved because you love that thing. That's why there is great disappointment. I think about this all the time. When I think about my church, think about the Armenian church, I am so disappointed with the realities all around me. But that also tells me that is because I love it so much. If I didn't love and care for it so much, I wouldn't be this disappointed. And in talking about these disappointments and talking about these loves lost, you've got to remember, you don't have that chance to rewind in life, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You can correct yourself, and you should constantly be in this state of repairing and correcting yourself, but not to the point that it is stifling. Live life, enjoy the life, and when you do make that mistake, don't look for the rewind button, but look for opportunities to really engage in a conversation of love with the people you've hurt, and in a conversation of forgiveness with yourself. Listen, this was about the VHS demise, and I took it to a different level. I took advantage of the situation. I'll admit it. I took advantage of the VHS ending to talk about something about life, but I think it's an appropriate message for the new year especially, because we're standing at January 1st, January 2nd, we're standing at 2009, and it is really no special event. The day on the calendar is put for you and me. It has nothing to do with God. He can make any day a new year. But what it is an opportunity for us to really look forward and look at life in front of us and say, you know what? Life is mine. I have that opportunity because God has created me in His image. I have that opportunity to create, not on a videotape, but on the world stage. And I want to take advantage of that.
Skating away, yay. Skating away, hey, skating away, hey, on the thin ice of the new day. Hey, 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 hey.
And now we come to the piece de resistance. I believe that means the best part. It is the time to talk about Theophany, New Year, and January 6th. We've been leading up to this, and we've been playing around with the idea of what is Christmas all about. In these Next Step podcasts, we've been talking about the true meaning of Christmas, and I did promise you when we started the season of Advent that when we got to Theophany, it would have a completely different meaning for all of us if we followed along in what Armenian Orthodoxy calls this period of Advent, this period of preparation. And I hope that by this time, as we've come together for Theophany, that you understand that it's not a question of January 6th or December 25th. It's a question of letting Christ be born. And the message of Theophany, Theo meaning God, Theophany as in the Epiphany being revealed, the revelation of God is exactly that, the revelation of love. God caring so much about you and me, and that we get an opportunity to share in that creation, to share in that universe that He has prepared for you and me, that He gives us the very best. He becomes human. He takes on human form. Love becomes incarnate. There is nothing greater than that. And you can go around it and you can put all kinds of names and all kinds of symbols to it, but there is nothing more powerful than that, than love taking on human form. And you say, well, it was Jesus Christ. What do you mean, love? Well, think about not Jesus Christ the person, Jesus Christ the action of love, of humbling and humiliating Himself in that manger and coming down and being one of us, experiencing our pains and experiencing His own human creation, spitting on Him, whipping Him, beating Him, and placing Him on the cross, and not condemning humankind, but looking at humankind with passion and saying, forgive, forgive. I forgive you, and therefore you need to forgive one another. Forgive us our trespasses. How? In the same way that I forgive others. Let me learn to forgive others. And God taking on that human form also means He takes on all of our pain, all of our suffering, and in His suffering, we look and we find that there is a dimension of resurrection. That beyond crucifixion, we also find our salvation. And so in Theophany, this feast, January 6th, which we sometimes erroneously call Armenian Christmas, we are to understand the revelation of God. Theophany, God being revealed. Now, in the past podcasts, I've spent quite a bit of time talking about the dates, about the events, nativity, the visit of the Magi, and, of course, the baptism of Christ. What I'd like to do today is do a reading from Matthew chapter 3. And during that reading, talk about some of the events that are taking place so we can get a historical perspective and the importance of the baptism as the focal point of the revelation of God. Now listen in. This is again Matthew chapter 3. About that time, John the Baptist appeared as a preacher in the Judean wilderness. His theme was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is upon you." Look at the urgency of that. Listen to the message. The kingdom of heaven is here right now. It's upon you. It is of Him that the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "A voice crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, clear a straight path for Him." John's clothing was a rough coat of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Now, the next few verses are about John the Baptist, about his person, and I'm going to hold off. We'll talk about this in subsequent podcasts. In the next few weeks, in particular, the church does remember John the Forerunner and John the Baptist with his unique feast, and I want to save these phrases because they come up and they are deserving of all of our attention upon his person. But let's skip on to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. In these verses, we find that Jesus has now arrived at the River Jordan to be baptized. And it reads as follows. Then Jesus arrived at the Jordan from Galilee and came to John to be baptized by him. John tried to dissuade him. "Do you come to me?" he said. "I need rather to be baptized by you." Jesus replied, "Let it be so for the present. We do well to confirm in this way with all that God requires." John then allowed him to come. After baptism, Jesus came up out of the water at once. And at that moment, heaven opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove to alight upon him. And a voice from heaven was heard saying, "This is my son, my beloved, on whom my favor rests." Aisor Tzainan Hairagan. In a few moments, I'm going to play this beautiful hymn that comes to us specifically on this feast day. It is used during the blessing of the water service in the Armenian church. It is so powerful because at that moment in history, the Holy Trinity is revealed. The Son of God being baptized, the Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove, and Father God from heaven saying, "This is my Son, listen to him." I mean, think about what he's saying, not to worship, not to look at him, but to listen to him. Because once you listen to him, you can't help but worship him. You can't help but look at him. Because his message is the one unique message that is void of all other places. That you love with your heart, with your soul and your mind. That love is more powerful than all of the negativity, than all of the evil, than all of the hatred in this world. That it is the one formula for everlasting peace. Listen to him. "This is my beloved Son." The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at that moment are revealed. And we call this theophany, the revelation of God. For us, as Armenian Orthodox Christians, there is nothing higher than this revelation. Because at that moment in history, we see that the love of God goes beyond all of our understanding. That it comes out from the water. At that moment in history, we understand the place of ourselves within the universe. Because there you have the sound, you have the flesh of the Son, and you have the Spirit all coming together and creating this totality. Many times I've shared with you my excitement at this faith, that it is not a faith that is left in the books, but it is a holistic faith that requires all of our senses, our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our taste, our feel, to really grasp, to be able to love completely with all of our senses, with all of our soul and our heart and our mind. Listen to this hymn right now. This is the hymn from the Blessing of the Water. It is referencing the voice of the Father who is heard at the baptism of Christ. Aisor Tzainan Hairagan. On the Feast of Theophany, the Holy Trinity is revealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The power of this event is that all of our senses combined come together to celebrate in love. Because in that Trinity, we find the totality of love, the love experience. God touching us in such a way that we are then forced to touch others in that same way, with humility, with self-sacrifice. All of the lessons that we've had up until this point throughout Advent point us to this one event. If you think about the care that we have for others, the ability to give our gifts to people who have no way to give back to us, why? What is the entire Santa Claus message? The message of giving to one another as the greatest gift giver. Who is that greatest giver but God? His love for us is beyond all understanding, beyond all comprehension. And yet we understand it because we are touched by it. We are who we are because of love. And in your life, you know you've had difficulties. You know that that love sometimes has stung. You know that who you are today, the difficulties and problems that you have are because in the way that love has been received by different people. But you know that that one constant has been God's love. That despite all of the difficulties you've gone through, God's love has remained. And so when we talk about the sound of the Father, the voice of the Father, Aisur Tzainan Hayragan, the voice of the Father is that one constant. It is something that we hear throughout all of religion when we talk about the sound of the universe, the Om. Listen as I'm talking and you hear the hymns of the seminarians in the background. It is that constant hymn, that constant sound that is out there despite all of the distractions that comes to us repeatedly, that love is greater than all of the evil combined in this world. I know and I understand that the challenge is great for us to believe that love does conquer, that love is more powerful than evil, because evil in reality is so pronounced in our world. We see it everywhere. It's very easy for us to lose faith, lose hope that good, that love is more powerful than evil. It almost sounds cliche. It almost sounds like it's impossible, like some kind of dream. It's like some kind of fantasy. Come on. You want me to believe that love is going to conquer when I've seen people being beaten, when I've seen children being abused, when I've seen the evils that come about from cancer and war and disease on a mass scale? What do you want me to believe in love? But you know, this is when we need to turn to the articles that are given to us by something as great as orthodoxy. This is why we use the saints, we use icons, we use images, we use what God has given us inside of our heart to be able to look beyond all of the tangible in this world and see the spirit living. That is why during the blessing of the water service in our church, which takes place on the baptism of Christ on January 6th, the officiating priest takes the holy chrism, the holy muron, which comes to us from the time of Christ, and places it in the water. And I want you to think about that. Molecules from the time of love incarnate penetrating that water, penetrating every part of that substance that will now come into our lives and into our homes. And the priest picks up a cross, and in that cross is the image of suffering. But he drowns that cross. He places it in the water and says that that cross is now drowned. And when he raises it, it is an empty cross. It is the symbol of victory, the symbol of resurrection, the symbol of love beating out every power of evil. The priest recites a prayer at that time, a prayer that comes to us from the early centuries. and it is a prayer that I wish to share with you right now. I will only read a few excerpts from it. It is a long prayer, but something that is so touching and moving because it describes God's love for us. The part I enjoy the most in this is the portion about the fearful dragon. Listen to it because it conjures metaphors, it conjures images of how bad life can be and our ability to rise to the occasion. The prayer says, "Blessed are you, O Lord God Almighty, who are strong and the doer of works of wonder. You have made heaven and the sea out of the formless waste and dark abyss while your spirit hovered over the water. Your beneficent only begotten called with his sweet voice, saying, 'Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.' He gathered all and brought them to the river Jordan, and he saw the fearful dragon who had his lair in the waters and wanted to swallow humankind. Your only begotten Son with his mighty power trampled the waters down under his heels and destroyed the great beast in accordance with the prediction of the prophets who have said, 'You have crushed the head of the dragon over the waters.' He revealed his Godhead when you, O Father, called upon him, saying, 'He is my beloved Son,' and your spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove." Now, these images are very, very powerful. They need to conjure within us, not just in our imagination, not within our head, but within us, the images of the true spirit of what love is, of what Christmas is all about. When we talk about Christmas, we're talking about love being born. When we talk about theophany, we are talking about love being revealed. And if you can tap into this revelation, you realize that that love is born in one place, not at some point in history, but in every aspect of your life, in your ability to reach out to other people and say, "I love you," not in some emotional sense, but in a sense that says, "I am willing to sacrifice." I know it's a hard one. I know it's incredibly hard. Think about the images that we were just given, about trampling death, about stepping on the dragon. In fact, if you remember a few years ago, that movie that came out called The Passion of the Christ, the Mel Gibson movie, how incredible the images were. The beginning of the movie started with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he steps on the serpent. In other words, love is that powerful that the serpent will always try to slither around. Evil will always try to consume you, will always try to present that image that it is in charge. But if you have love in your heart, you can take over. You can take over that because all of a sudden your outlook is different. All of a sudden your ability to get along in life is empowered by the power of Christ, by the power that God places inside of you. And that power is something that reaches to the beginnings of time. It is as old as the universe and it comes from the universe. And this is why I challenge you today, as we start this new year, to really take upon yourself this opportunity of newness, this opportunity of beginning the new year afresh by saying that all of my evils, all of the difficulties that I have in life are now being drowned. And as they come up out of the water, as Christ did come up, there is a new freshness, a new beginning, a new life that I want to tap into, that I know that it belongs to me and no one else. Take advantage of it. There's absolutely nobody else who can do it except you. You can't change others, but you can change yourself. Take advantage of this moment. Christmas is today, as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow, when our hearts open to the love that God has placed in there. Well, we come to the end of another podcast, and we greet you with the message of Christmas, which is Christ is revealed among us. And the answer to that is that, yes, indeed, blessed is that revelation of Christ. There's probably nothing more important today than to extend that greeting, because in all that we've gone through Advent, throughout these podcasts, in our ministry, it is for the love of Christ and because of the love of Christ that we found the strength and the reason to do it. So God bless you all, and thank you very much for tuning in to us, and we hope that you'll be back again next week. These podcasts are ways for us to reach out to the broader community, and we really appreciate all of the feedback that you've been sending us, and you can continue to send us feedback at, where else? feedback@epostle.net. In fact, go to epostle.net and you'll find not only this podcast, but every other podcast that has taken place in the year 2008 on that website. You can listen to them, you can download them, or better yet, just put in your email or go to iTunes and download them all or take whatever you need. Well, we wish you the best for the new year. We've got a great year planned for you. I mean, I have to tell you that Next Step is now becoming really an institution. We're getting all kinds of email and all kinds of feedback about people telling us how blessed they feel by this broadcast, and we really appreciate that too. But it also challenges us to take the next step. And so within the next few weeks, you're going to see some formatting changes. You're going to see new sections to our podcast, actually little departments and little extras that I think you're going to be very pleased with. So stay tuned with us, and we look forward to having you again next week. So for all the wonderful people who make this a reality, for Epostle.net, for the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, and of course for In His Shoes, the ministry which has the vision for all of this, for our producer Susie, for Ken up in the booth, who's had a wonderful year, despite the smoke-colored glass he always looks at me through, this is Father Voskin, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.